Let us look at Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. My topic for this morning is the year of the wretch. And you may be wondering why at this late time of the year I speak on this year of the wretch. We celebrated Chinese New Year on January 25th. On February the 7th. And we thought it was already early. But next year, Chinese New Year will come earlier still. Next year, Chinese New Year will fall on January the 25th, which is earlier still. Now, so you may be wondering why at this stage, when we are already in the month of August, am I speaking on a Chinese New Year subject? Well, let me say this. I'm not speaking on Chinese New Year. I'm not speaking on the horoscope, in case some people may misunderstand me because of the year of the wreck. But what I'm doing is a Bible study. A study on the word wreck as found in the scriptures. This has been my practice for nearly over 30 years already. This is my third cycle speaking on the Chinese New Year animals. And this year, I speak on the year of the rat. Last year, I spoke on the year of the pig. And next year, not willing, I shall be speaking on the year of the cow. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you were born in the year of the rat. Because especially if you are a lady, the moment you put up your hand and say you were born in the year of the rat, I would know your age already. That's the advantage of the animal years in the Chinese New Year. Now, how did these animals come about? Especially in the order. Now, according to legend, there were 12 animals that were chosen to represent each year of a cycle of 12 years. And these animals one day were fighting to be the first in that cycle. And they went to see Buddha to ask him to decide who should be the first. The Buddha found it difficult, so he said, why not we have a contest? And so they had a contest to swim over to the bank of the other side of the river. And so the 12 animals gathered and they had a competition among themselves to see who would reach the bank on the other side first. And so all the animals were gathered together, and at the word go, all the animals jumped. Now of course, you would know that the cow would be a very strong animal. And the cow was about the first to jump in. But unknown to the cow, or to the bullock, the rat, cunning as ever, quickly jumped upon the back of the cow, or of the bullock. And so all the animals swam over to the other side. And the bullock, strong as ever, was the first to about reach the other bank. And as expected, the bullock was first, and he was to jump up on the bank. But that cunning creature, the rat on the back, before the bull could jump onto the bank, the rat jumped first. So it became the first in the cycle of animals. And this year is the first in the cycle of animals. And those of you who know Chinese, you know very well how to say the rhyme to get the order for the various animals in the Chinese New Year. So this is the beginning, the rat, the first in the cycle of 12 animals. After that, will be the cow, and so on. Alright, what has the Bible to say about the rat? Perhaps I may like to ask you a question. What can you recall any verse in the scriptures that has the wreck in it? This is a Bible study, and this study is on the word wreck as found in the scriptures. And as we look up the various verses of the word wreck in the various chapters in the Bible, we try to connect them together and learn some lessons from there. So, it depends on which version you are using, which Bible translation you are using. If you are using the King James Version, you can never find the rat there, because there's no rat in the King James Version. But if you can find, if you are using the NIV, oh, you can find many rats there. There are rats there. And there are at least 6 rats there in the NIV. But in the King James Version, they don't have the word rat. It's the same Hebrew word, akbar, that is translated into rat in the NIV. And that word, that Hebrew word akbar, is the same word that is translated mouse or mice in the King James Version. So if you look up mice or mouse in your concordance in the King James Version, you will find it there. It occurs 6 times, and all occur only in the Old Testament. Our study today will take us into 3 areas. 1, the Old Testament rat, then the New Testament rat, then the modern day rat. It depends upon the time that I have at my disposal. If I have not much time, I will merge the New Testament rat with a modern day rat and study them together. Right? So we'll start. Leviticus chapter 11. And we find the first occurrence of the word rat in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 11. And the first thing we are going to consider with regard to the study of the Old Testament rat is the pronouncement on the rat. Leviticus chapter 11. The pronouncement. What does the Bible say about the rat? In chapter 11 and verse 29, where we read the first occurrence of the word rat there, we read, "These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse," or the rat in your NIV, "and the tortoise after its kind, and the ferret, and the chameleon, and the lizard, and the snail, and the mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever does touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the evening. And upon whomsoever any of them which they are dead, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood, or raiment, or skin, or sack. Whatever vessel it is, wherein any work is done, it must be put into the water. It shall be unclean until the evening, so it shall be cleansed." And I'll stop here for a while and explain. So you find that the rat is classified as an unclean animal. Why is it classified as unclean animal? Well, basically, it is categorized as a creeping creature. And all creeping creatures are unclean. So a rat is classified as an unclean creature. And as such, it is unclean. But then we know that a rat does not creep. A rat has legs, not like a worm or a snake that creeps along. So why is a rat classified as an unclean animal, as a creeping creature? Well, perhaps it has very short legs. Just like the tortoise is also classified as unclean, being a creeping creature. So these animals, having very short legs, and when they walk, they look like creeping, they are all called unclean. And as unclean, they are all called, or categorized as creeping creatures. And as creeping creatures, they are unclean. And what is meant by being unclean? When an animal is unclean, then animal cannot be eaten. Number 2, if the animal is dead, you must not touch it. Number 3, if the animal is dead and it falls on anything, it falls on your body, it falls on a cup, it falls on a table, that thing, that article will become unclean, at least for a day. That is the law laid down. Alright? So, that's the pronouncement. And we in Malaysia, we would be able to understand this better because we have what the Muslims always say as haram. Unclean is haram. And that's what it is. And to them, that's why these animals linked in the scriptures are also haram. Unclean. Right. Next, we go on to the purpose. Why does God have this list or this register of clean and unclean animals? There are 2 purposes. Purpose number 1, to make a a difference in the food. Let's look at verse 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Verse 46 for connection. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. These are unclean. In order to make a difference in the food. Why? You would know that because the children of Israel had to wander in the wilderness for nearly 40 years, they had to be kept healthy and strong. If they got contaminated by the polluted things around them, or the polluted and dirty and unclean animals around them, by the dead animals and corpses of these birds and so on, then they would fall sick. And if they should fall sick, or perhaps even worse, there should be a plague among them, then the whole tribe would be wiped out. And so these cautions were taken in order to prevent them from falling sick. So for the purpose of keeping them healthy, all right? Second purpose is not only to provide a difference in the food, but it's also to put a distinction in the fellowship. Let's look at verse 43. Verse 43. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord who bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Clean animals and unclean animals are symbolic of groups of people that God has called out or not called out. A group of people that God has called out to be His people would be clean. A group of people that has not been called out by God would be unclean. And therefore the Jews called out from Egypt would be clean to God. Clean and holy. I am holy. Therefore you must be clean and you must be holy. Because these people were specially called out of Egypt to be His people. Those who were non-Jews, the Gentiles, the nations around, they therefore would be unclean. And they would be symbolized by the unclean animals. And that's why you would remember in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was up on the rooftop and he saw a vision of a sheet coming down. And this sheet contained a lot of animals, clean animals as well as unclean animals. And when Peter saw that in that vision, the clean and unclean animals, and God calling out to him, "Peter, eat." And what did he answer? He said, "No, that which is unclean, I will never eat, because that's what the law said so." Now God was preparing him to go and visit Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile. God was opening the door of the church, a called out people unto him, to the Gentiles. He had called them out at Pentecost, the Jews. Now he will be calling out the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, the Cornelius, representing all the Gentiles that will follow. And Peter was to be an apostle to opening the door to the Gentiles. And so God was preparing him. And he said, "No, I'm not prepared to go to the Gentiles. These are unclean." And God said, "What I have cleansed, call not thou unclean." And so Peter went to speak to the Gentiles. And therefore, Jews at Pentecost, Gentiles as represented by Cornelius in his time, they were then joined together and we have the church. So that in the church, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. All are one together in Christ. No more unclean. The church will be God's people, called out from the world, Jews and Gentiles, so that in the body of Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And so it is to make a distinction of that which is holy and that which is not holy. Alright, even then, the Jews themselves, they did not obey. Alright, let's look at the second occurrence of the word rat or mouse in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 66. Now in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 17, there is a group of people of whom we read, they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating wine's flesh and the abomination eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. The Lord says he's very angry because there's this group of people who gather together secretly to perform all these mystical rituals. They would gather in the gardens, secret gardens. They would gather in the graves, and they would gather in the groves, and then they would perform all these rituals, and they would eat swine's meat, which is an abomination. Babi is haram, and they would eat mice, which is also unclean, in all these secret places. And God says, these are an abomination unto me. And so you find, in spite of the law, there were those people who did that. And who were these people? God had already made a distinction in the food, but then they had also to learn that there must be a distinction in the fellowship. So who were these people? Look at the background of these people. Chapter 65, Isaiah 65, verse 1. I am sought by those who ask not for me. I am found by those who sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifices in gardens and burneth increase at incense upon altars of brick, that remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, that eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, that say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will recompense into their bosom your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers, and so on. And so you find this group of people, they not only ate swine's meat, they also ate mice. And they were people who claimed themselves that they were more holy than all the others. They were supposed to be holy people, to be separate from the Gentiles, to eat food that is clean. And yet there were people who claimed to be holy, more holy than all others, and eating food that was unclean. And God said, you are abominable to me. And so we see, the second occurrence of the word mouse shows us some people who think that they are holy. They are more holy than the others, and they cannot mix up with the other people. And yet, in the secret lines, they are the ones who do all the unclean things, who do all the deceptive things, and so on. Oh, they are abomination unto the Lord. They are iniquitous, they are sinners, and yet they claim themselves to be holy. They are just hypocrites. Alright, that is the second occurrence of the word mouse. The other four are found in 1 Samuel chapter 6. Very quickly, let us have a look. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Now this is the story of the Ark of God who was taken by Israel to battle with the Philistines. And in the battle, they lost the battle. And then the ark was taken by the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 6 into their temple. And what happened was this. When the Philistines took the ark into the temple, they placed it at the side of their idol, Dagon. At the side. The next day, the ark of the idol Dagon just collapsed and fell to the ground. They lifted it up, put it up again, to be on the same pedestal as with the ark of God. God would not allow that. So the second day, to make sure that this would not happen again, The idol fell to the ground again, and this time the head was broken, the arms and the hands were broken, so that they could not put them all together. And of course the Philistines got the message. Alright, that was one punishment that God was giving to the Philistines. But there were others. Let's see what happened. Let's look at verse 9. Chapter 5 and verse 9. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord carried it about would mean that the Philistines were so afraid that the various rulers in each province was do not want to have the ark in their presence anymore. So they moved the ark from one province to another and to another and to the now the fifth province. And the ruler also said, no, I do not want this ark, because the ark is bringing a lot of problems to our province. And what are the problems? Number one, verse 9. The hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had tumors in their secret parts. They had tumors in their secret parts, or boils in their bodies, including their secret parts. And so they were, it was a plague. What plague was it? Many Bible scholars believed that it was probably bubonic plague. In other words, a plague caused by rats. Alright? Rats that were polluted had caused and brought about this plague that had destroyed the people in their province. But second thing, there was still another destruction that the Philistines were worried about. What was it? Chapter 6, verse 4. Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice. That's the word rats again. And this is the second occurrence of the word, or a third occurrence of the word rat in the Old Testament. According to the mice that mar the land. So, there were two plagues that fell upon the Philistines for keeping the ark of God. One, that the people had boils in their bodies, bubonic plague. Second, the mice were marring the land, the harvests were destroyed. And so you see that the people were very afraid, and they did not want to have the ark in their presence anymore. And so they went to see their soothsayers and wise men, so called, what to do. And the wise men gave words of wisdom to them. They said, you are all guilty of retaining this ark of God. Send it back with and confess your guilt. Send it back with a guilt offering. And what is that guilt offering or trespass offering? It should contain of golden images of the tumors. And because you 5 provinces have been affected, then you will make 5 golden images of the tumors, the boils. And you will also make 5 golden rats. And these two should be put together, put on a card, and sent back to Israel as your confession that you are guilty. And that's what it says so in verse 4. Verse 3, they ask, what should we do? And verse 4, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice. And verse 5, wherefore you shall make images of your tumors and images of your mice. This is the 4th occurrence of the word mice or rat in the Old Testament, that mar the land, and you shall give glory unto God. And so they did what the soothsayers told them to do. They made the golden mice. But see how they presented to God back the guilt offering. As they confessed before God, we are guilty. Alright? And they were prepared now to give glory back to God. The instruction was, they must make 5 golden images of the boils. They must make 5 golden images of the rats. Second, all these golden images must be placed on a new cart. Verse 7. Now, therefore, make a new cart. And the new cart must be pulled by 2 milk cows, on which no yoke had been placed on their shoulders. Verse 7. Therefore make a new cart and make two milk cows on which there had come no yoke. And so we find that the offering that they must sacrifice back to God to confess their guilt would be, one, it must be first rank, made of gold, of most valuable, first rank. Secondly, it must be first class, put on a new cart. New cart, not an old cart. Thirdly, it must be first hand, pulled by cows that had not yet any yoke been put on their shoulders. And so this was done. But the Philistines were very clever. They wanted to know and to be assured that this was indeed God's punishment of them. And so they took two milk cows that had just given birth to the calves. And they were very clever. They put the calves back in the shed in the province, and they would lead or would allow the milk cows to pull the cart in the other direction to back to Israel. If at all it was God who was the one who was punishing them, then the milk cows would definitely be directed by God to go back to Israel. But if not, the milk cows would follow the natural motherly instincts and go back to the calves. That's natural. And we read in the passage later on that the milk cows returned to Israel, showing that it was God behind the punishment. And so we read in chapter 6 and verse 11, they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the box with the mines of gold and the images of the humans, and they sent them back. That will be the fifth occurrence of the word mouse or rat in the Old Testament. And then we read in verse 17, and these are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a trespass of guilt offering unto the Lord. For Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, and one for Ekron. Verse 18, and the golden mines according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines. That will be the last occurrence of the word rat in the Old Testament. And so we finish with the rats in the Old Testament. There are rats. Now, what about the rats in the New Testament? Now, I don't have time to deal with the New Testament rats separately from the modern day rats. So I'm going to combine the two together, the New Testament rats with the modern day rats. But I said earlier that the word rat is not found in the New Testament. So how can we ever have learned any lesson from the rat in the New Testament? Well, you'll see. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. The New Testament rats. And then we shall merge that with the modern day rats. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 6. For of this sort are they who crept into houses. And they rats. They crept into houses. So they must be rats. So there are these men who crept into houses and lead captive city women laden with sins, led away with various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Alright, who are these rats? So there were these modern day and New Testament rats in the time of Timothy. And Paul warned Timothy, beware of them, because they would creep into houses and they would captivate, well, according to the phrase used here, silly women. Actually, not silly, but in the sense of immature. Women with little maturity. Children still in the faith. And they would be curious people, because it says they're ever learning but never come to the truth. So these people would creep into their houses and then would captivate the attention of the women, who would always be curious to find out, some new sales gimmick, cheap or fancy, and so on. And that's how salesmen get entry into their various homes today even. And so Paul warned Timothy, be careful of these men, because they were not there to sell things. but they will dare to sell all the false doctrines to draw them away from the truth. Beware of them. They are rats, for they creep in. What about the modern day rats? Today we also have modern day rats. The people, the occupants in the house, need not have to open their doors or their windows to allow these rats to come in. They can shut their doors, and in fact many of them do so. They shut their doors, they shut their windows, but these rats still come in. And what are they? I call them the computer rats. The computer rats. You shut your doors, you shut your windows, but through the computer the rats come in. And the computer rats come in three ways. And we need to be very, very careful. Those of us who are living in this generation. The computer rats come into our houses, into our lives in three ways. One, through spam in the emailing. Spam in emailing. Let me explain. What is spam? Spam is unsolicited email. Alright, there are three forms of spam that come into our computer through email. One, there are those who want to sell the products. They somehow get hold of your email addresses and they seek to sell whatever they want to sell to you. Alright, that is quite okay. It will not cause much harm, except that there will be a bigger hole in your pocket, and that's all. Secondly, there will be those who will seek to lead you to pornography. And this spam is very dangerous. Just by a click of your button, straight away you are entered, you are caught in the pornography site. And sometimes they are so clever, when you go in there, you cannot even come out. You want to come out, you cannot come out, you get stuck there. And that is one that you must be careful of. Pornography. Thirdly, there are those who say, oh, we have a lot of money. We want to give you a lot of money. Can you send us your bank account and so on? Mr. Sang is smiling at me. Mr. Sang now smiles also, because he was a victim of that. Just a few months ago, I received an email purportedly from a friend of Mr. Sang Lai Su from Africa, stating that Mr. Sang was in Africa, and that he lost all his things, his possessions, he was robbed, and can you please send some money to him now so that he can come back to Malaysia? Fortunately, I did not have enough money to send, otherwise I would have lost all that money. Because I knew very, very well that Mr. Sang was in Taipei. He was not in Africa. I'm not going to send that money. And this is the kind of spam that comes on. So for those people who are curious, they go into this area and they get caught. Please note, captivate, capture, and they get caught, become crippled. These are curious people. Those who are curious with the spam. First, they get captivated. Wow, interesting. Then they get captured. Wow, very good. Going further, especially pornography sites. Then they get crippled. They have no more use for anything anymore. No more time. They cannot spend time anymore. Be careful, those of you who are curious. The computer rat is very effective in getting hold of attention. Second way by which the computer rat comes into your lives, and that will be surfing the sites. Surfing the various sites on the internet. Today you can get anything and everything on the internet. And you may put your safe search on in your Google search or whatever search, yet sometimes you find that you can still, by clicking on the mouse, it will take you to a pornography site. And there, if it is your first time, you may be curious and you would like to look more about it, more into it. And then, wow, so interesting, and you get captivated. And once you get captivated, you spend more hours on it and you get caught. And so much so that you have no more time for your wives, for your children, and above all things else, even for the Lord's work. And that's why many young people today do not even read their Bible. Why do I say that? Because today it's so very easy even to prepare a sermon. One just has to go to the internet at the last minute, search for a sermon by the topic that you want, and there you have a sermon all prepared for you. And then the next morning you come and wow, you give out a message. Now, that is not the way to prepare messages. I have been in this ministry for so long. I have never gone into sermon sites on this nature. Number one, it's very dangerous. You do not know what that site is. And if you are a new beginner, you do not know how sound the doctrine that is being taught. And number two, that's not the way to prepare a sermon. You have got to wait upon the Lord. You have got to think about Him. Think on the word and let Him speak to you. That's for example. And today I'm speaking on the year of the rat. I challenge you to find this kind of message in the internet. You can never find it. Because this comes as a result of a searching of the scriptures, not taken from somebody else. Many of you will know that I also have a website on the internet. And my sermon outlines, for example, the rate is already there. And that's why in the notes at the very bottom, you can find my URL there. Visit it and find out for yourself. You have a complete note, a complete set of notes on the net. What you have is only an abridged copy. But on the net, you have, on my website, you have a complete set. Now, the point is, many people have come to see me. Mr. Ang, why not you just write up in full your sermon outline? I say that's the last thing I will do. My whole idea of giving you outline is that it will set you thinking and waiting upon the Lord so that you don't copy what I say. I do not want you to copy my thoughts. You can take one section of it and then build it up as the Lord leads you. But don't copy. Don't copy. And that's the whole idea. And that is also what I do for the Lord's Supper, the rumination. I have a long rumination for each Sunday. But you don't have to use the whole rumination. You can take just one section that is applicable and prepare yourself for a meaningful service. In fact, this morning, after this, I may have a session with some of you on question hour. Well, I may perhaps discuss with you how to have a very meaningful Lord's Supper. Instead of just coming and then after that we go away from the Lord's Supper without being refreshed as having met the Lord. But to really have a meaningful Lord's Supper so that when we go away from this place, we are really thrilled to have met the Lord. Very wonderful. We'll discuss that if we have opportunity to do so afterwards. Okay, so beware of your computer rant. One, through email, the spam in the email. Two, through the sites in the internet. Three, through the wasting of time in computer games, chit-chatting in the various areas. And MS and Messenger and all these other things. You chit-chat and so on. Let me tell you a true story. Be very, very careful. I was preaching when I was a camp teacher in a camp in Kota Kinabalu one day, or one year. And after speaking at the camp, one middle-aged lady came to see me with tears in her eyes. And she said to me, "Mr. Ang, I have been in the chit-chat room for 1 year already. And I have been corresponding with a pastor in a church. After having heard what you have spoken, I want to do your advice as to what to do now. Because I have been corresponding and talking, chit-chatting with that pastor, and he has promised to leave his wife and family for me." And I said, there's only one solution. There's only one solution. Stop it. Get out of it. For the sake of yourself as a Christian, for the sake of the pastor, so-called, for the sake of his wife, for the sake of his children, stop it and get out. But Mr. Ang, I have been at it for 1 year already, and we are very close together, very intimate, very difficult. I say, between yourself and the Lord, you have got to do it. There's no other way. Well, she left me, and I do not know what the outcome was. And I'm going to tell you, I am telling you this because of the very great danger you expose yourself in your in the chit-chat room. So be very careful that these things can happen, and it's happening among not only Christians at a very low level, but at high level also, at leadership level. Okay, so that is the danger you are exposed to. And we can find young people today spending so much time in the computer games. So much so that they have no more time for their studies, but worst of all, they have no time for the Word of God. They don't study the Word of God now. And that's why I did not mention this yesterday. In our time when we were young, one of the distinctives associated with our assembly was, if you are from the gospel hall, wow, don't touch them. Their Bible knowledge is superb. Very good. Today, you mention people from the gospel hall, they will have no respect for their knowledge of the scriptures. And today, the other denominations have better Christians who know their Bible better. What is happening to us? What is happening to us? It is time that young people, you spend less time with the computer games. You spend more time with the Word of God, looking into the Word of God, studying it, so that you know what the Bible teaches. Okay, that is the computer rat. Secondly, there is also the credit card rat. And this rat creeps into your life so easily and so unknowingly and so subtly that you are very little aware of it. How many of you who, especially those who have just graduated, the moment you graduate from your university, now you have one card to show, and then another card soon to show, upgraded from what, classic to gold, to platinum, without even you asking for it. Oh, so easy. And it creeps into your life. Oh, now I have so much money, I can spend and spend and spend. The report from the second finance minister, some 6,000 go bankrupt due to credit card debts. In a written reply to Liu Ching Tong, DAP, Noor Mohammad Sai said, unpaid debts not more than 3 months old amount to 2 billion ringgit. Well, unpaid debts exceeding 3 months, which have been classified as non-performing loans, amount to 500 million. And this is happening now among our young people today. You know, young people who have just started working, you never have it so good. You have never become so rich instantly. My people of my generation, we have to work until our senior years before we could even qualify for a credit card, because we would not have the money that would qualify us. That's not enough money. And yet today, you have. But unfortunately, that money that you have is not yours. Because you owe it. You take it from loan. And then when you cannot pay, you go bankrupt. So be careful of this credit card rat that can come into your life. Thirdly, be careful of the contemporary lifestyle. Today, forgive me for saying that, I get more and more frustrated with the newspapers I read. Before, I would enjoy the newspapers for their criticism and critical and analytical articles about issues, situations, and so on. Now, more and more newspapers have supplements on how to buy certain branded clothes, how to prepare yourself for better beauty, and so on, so on, so on. Lots of supplements are on this. We are changing our lifestyle. But we are changing our lifestyle to that level where we cannot afford. And this is the danger. When we can put on a shirt to cover ourselves that costs less, we are prepared to buy a shirt that costs so many times more in order to show at the back of your shirt there is a brand name there. Whatever name, I do not know, because I don't buy that such dresses. So, this is what is happening. And you go around with all the brand names. This is a contemporary lifestyle. Cannot you save that money and give it to the Lord's work? The Lord's work today is very, very low down in finance. They are reaching out to the hundreds and thousands of poor, but then they do not have enough finance. And yet, here we are, going to posh hotels, having very class lifestyles, and yet we are not spending or giving in 1 cent to mission work. Is that the kind of lifestyle we are going to live? Can we take that lifestyle away, back to heaven with us? So beware of this. So these are the computer rats. So what are the rats that can creep into our houses? The computer rats, the credit card rats, and the contemporary lifestyle rats. I have only 5 minutes more. Let's go to the last one. The last rat, New Testament rat. And that is found in Jude verse 4. Jude verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares. No, please, crept in unawares would suggest that they are rats. Crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this group of men, these rats that creep into our lives, have to do with Bible doctrines and our Christian faith and beliefs and practices. The first group, they are libertines. They teach this, that the grace of God is so merciful, so plenty, so rich, He will ever forgive. Therefore, go on living in your life. It's a license for licentious living. Go on. And that's why in Paul's days, in Romans, Paul challenged. What shall we sing that grace may abound? God forbid. It shall never be. Some people think that because God's mercy is so great, God's love is so great, God's compassion is so great, let us sin. Because when we sin, God is gracious. God is merciful. God is compassionate. He will forgive. It's the grace of God. A license to licentious living. That is our challenge. Let us realize that the grace of God, He forgives and He strengthens those who are weak and those who are infirm. Because we are really there. Not that we want to take advantage of His grace. So, let us have a correct attitude towards Him. Second group of people, they are those who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we find more and more who doubt. Recent books have come up, the Vinci Code, and many others that have challenged the very deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get influenced by some of these books. Then there are those in the internet, article after article you can read, challenging the Lord Jesus Christ. Just 1-2 days ago, I happened to come across a website, and there were the articles. Was Jesus Christ married? Was Jesus Christ God? And was Jesus Christ a real person? And so on. Challenging the very deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these things are present by the multitudes, so to speak, in the internet. And if you're not careful, we get caught by all these arguments and so on. And when we do not know the Bible, and we get caught by these arguments who argue seemingly so decisively, we are caught, we are captivated, and we become crippled, and our Christian life becomes nothing. So, be careful. I finish with this. That's my conclusion for the rest of this year of the rest, and hopefully for the other years to come. Number one, please do not suck with rats. Meaning, you do not have association with all these rats that creep into our lives. Now, I forgot to mention this. In the Old Testament, we have a register of clean and unclean animals. In the New Testament, do we have it or not? Yes, we have. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We also have a register of clean and unclean animals. And what we must do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And reading from verse 12, verse 11. O you Corinthians, our speech to you is candid. Our heart is wide open. On our part, there is no constraint, but there are constraints in your affections. Jump to verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. Touch not the unclean thing. And that is the New Testament law to each one of us. So let us beware of the unclean. Then we also mention of those Jews who went into secret groves, gardens and graves to eat pork, to eat minds and so on. Do we have such kind of attitude? These people who say they are more holy and so on? Well, we also have in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 21. Verse 20 for connection. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Is it possible that today all of us take part of the Lord's Supper, partake of the cup, partake of the bread, and the next moment we reach this place and we partake of the table of demons? Let us be careful. Let us be careful. These things are true, and they can cripple our Christian lives. So may the Lord speak to us that in this year of the rat, it may bring us challenges. So do not suck with rats. Stop the rats from creeping into your houses. And above all, sacrifice golden rats to God. Sacrifice. Know your guilt. Give that offering unto the Lord of the best that you have. The golden rats. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this time and this privilege that we have spent at this table of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving this opportunity and the honor too to remember the Lord until he comes again. And we are waiting for that time when he will come to take us to be with him. But in the meanwhile, O God, keep us faithful to thee. Keep us separate. Let us not touch the unclean thing. Let us be faithful to thee and keep us clean for thy use, that we may be clean vessels fit for the master's use. Lord, hear us, we do pray, as we commit ourselves to thee for this day and the days to follow, that thou wilt be with us for the rest of this week, because we ask these things in the blessed and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.